Okay, so you know I love good wordplay. And Third Love is crushing their wordplay here. When you have a bra that pinches or slips or just isn't comfortable at all, or is comfortable but isn't your style, you've got problems. How excited was Third Love when they thought of problems? Well done, Third Love. I see you. When you wear Third Love bras, you've got no problems. They fix the problem of size exclusivity with their famous half-cup sizes that revolutionized the industry by giving more options to find a bra that fits. And they fixed the problem of guessing what bra will fit you with their virtual fitting room and other helpful guides. A bra size chart, a bra 101 education section that's basically an FAQ for all your burning questions, and a ton of great reviews from real people. My sister just texted me 99 problems, but pinching isn't one. It's time to get your problem solved. Visit thirdlove.com and get $15 off your order with code PODCAST15.
If you want to learn something new, would you rather learn it on your own, from a random teacher, or from folks who are the best of the best in that skill? I think I know which option most of you would choose. That's made possible by MasterClass. In recent months, they've added classes from the likes of Ava DuVernay, who gives us tips on how to reframe our thinking in all walks of life. One of our personal favorites recently was the one-on-one time we got with Amy Poehler in her class on preparing to be unprepared. So good. With Ava DuVernay. With over 180 world-class instructors and a 30-day money-back guarantee for new members, there's no reason not to get started today. And right now, our listeners will get an additional 15% off an annual membership at masterclass.com/hardthings. Get 15% off right now at masterclass.com/hardthings. Masterclass.com/hardthings.
Pod Squad, there's something we need to ask you to do today that would mean so much to us. And that is take 30 seconds to make sure you're following the show. This weird thing happened with the Apple updates and it's kicked a lot of people out of the Pod Squad. They've been paused. And so we need you to make sure you're not paused.
I was paused out of my own Pod Squad.
I know you were. God.
So to check to see if this happened to you, Apple listeners, listen up. Open your podcast app, search We Can Do Hard Things, and select the show page. In the top right corner, you may see a pause symbol. Tap the pause symbol to resume. Please, if you see a download symbol, you can go to the settings and automatically download episodes. And if you see a plus symbol, please tap to follow the show.
So if you do this, the new episodes just come up in your feed. And this is really helpful to you because you never miss an episode. It's also really helpful to us. It actually matters to us when you listen to the pod. It makes a big difference. So thank you so much. Go to We Can Do Hard Things show page on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Odyssey, or wherever you listen to podcasts and tap the plus sign in the upper right-hand corner or click on follow.
And you know what? Tell your friends. Maybe send them a link to your favorite episode or to the show. We love you. We appreciate you so much, Pod Squad.
We really do. Thank you, Pod Squad.
Unpause. Unpause us.
Okay, well then. What you doing, babe? Why are you screaming like that?
I just had to do a yawn, ha, ha. I needed to do a yawn, ha, ha.
Okay, what's a yawn,
what is
ha,
the ha, ha?
I just, you know, sometimes when you're like, yawn, ha! You ever do that? Like, you need to like, ha it out?
Okay, I'm so excited that this is recorded. I just feel like I have been suffering for so long with Abby's need to make every bodily function terrifying. Like the sneeze would register on the Richter scale with how loud it is. And even the yawn, which is like a quiet thing. And then there's like an animal scream after.
It's not a quiet thing for me.
That's it. That's right. That's right.
This is a thing in our marriage that isn't going to change. this is what we're going to keep doing until we're dead.
Yeah.
This is the only area of my marriage in which I've been able to actually achieve radical acceptance.
Well, that's good. So who's loud? Who's the loud sneezer?
Oh, John sneezes so loud that I feel like there's no way he's not making that up.
That's what she thinks too, I think. I think they think it's performative, but I promise
it's
you,
not,
it's not.
It's not. Our marriage was in real, real shaky ground one day on a plane where Bobby was a baby and I was having like a panic attack because he was bawling and we were flying on an 8-hour flight. Bawling. We hadn't even taken off yet. And I was like, this is going to be 8 hours of this. He was an infant. And I had finally gotten him to sleep. And it was like a full body experience of anxiety for me. And I was holding him and my whole body was tense. I was like holding him in the most uncomfortable position because that was the only way I could get him to not be screaming. And as soon as he fell asleep, John sneezed.
No.
And he woke up and no. I was like,
this is your child
like
now.
File paperwork.
Yeah, this is your child now forever. Wow.
And then you feel crazy because you're like, you can't do anything to control that, allegedly. Mm-hmm. But I feel like you can.
I feel like you can too.
It's so
scary.
I'm telling you, we can control it. I have done it. When I'm out in public, I'm like this. I like swallow
so,
it.
Oh, so I should have filed that day because you could have done it.
But my eyeballs are about to pop out of my face.
Well, like, so were mine. I was holding a baby for 8 hours and basically with my body upside down.
Yeah. Yeah.
This isn't either here nor there.
I hear you.
Well, it is. I relate. It is here and there is where it is.
And
everywhere. Where? What I do, because I am not a very good person, is that I blatantly withhold my God bless yous when the sneezes are too loud.
Are you kidding me?
Nope. I can't believe you haven't noticed. I will not say God bless you to a loud sneezer. I hope that the ancient teachings are right and that's where the devil gets right in your body. And that's what I do. I do not bless the devil out of your body. If you're going to be so loud as to instill the fear of God in me, then I'm going to hope the devil sneaks right in during that sneeze.
Oh my God. That is really embarrassing.
I'm bad.
I feel embarrassed for you.
Okay. So, if you're having a bad day, karma is my boyfriend. Okay. Feeling a little possessed.
Yeah.
Because I did not bless you.
Yeah. It's the back to school.
Oh, I assumed you knew that the karma was coming back to you, Glennon.
Oh, no. No, karma is a cat on my lap.
We're having a moment in our family, like the back to school, everything has been wild.
We are so mad at each other. Situation. Everyone in our house is mad at each other.
But the kids don't really know it, but I'm like seething.
So apropos of nothing, what we have decided to come together today and discuss is something that the Pod Squad has been calling in and requesting as a topic for a long time. Mm-hmm. And it is because it is something that happens to all of us every single year. And it is something that causes all kinds of complicated feelings inside of us if the emails stop yawning.
We're doing a
Am
thing
I keeping
now
you awake?
No, Abby's yawning. So it's contagious to me, then I'm yawning, and then I'm making it contagious to her. And we're just yawning back and forth.
Did you yawn? Did you
yawn? Yawnapalooza.
No, I'm trying to record a podcast.
I can't stop thinking about it. So I'm doing it. You know, it's contagious.
So what we're talking about is birthdays. And all of the complicated feelings that birthdays bring up in us each year, we have figured it out. We have figured out exactly why birthdays are so complicated and difficult for a lot of us. And I believe that by the end of this podcast, you will have some ideas about how to make your birthday less sucky.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think we're going to fix birthdays today. What do you all think? Or are you too bored to answer?
No, I mean, I don't know. I don't think we're going to fix birthdays. We're going to talk about birthdays. That's for sure what we're going to do on this.
All right, let's
start.
I'm
going to try really hard not to sing It's Your Birthday.
No, you're not going to sing 50 Cent on our podcast.
Is that 50 Cent?
Okay. Yeah.
Get busy.
Okay. No, that's not even in the song. Get busy.
It's your birthday. What's the next line?
We're going to party like it's your birthday. Oh, we're going to drink Bacardi like it's your birthday. We don't give a fuck because it's your birthday. Like that. All right. I think it's interesting that one of the reasons why I started my friendship journey in the last season, where I'm trying to gather and invest in and work on my friendship life, is because it was kind of catalyzed by a birthday.
Catalyzed is a word?
So,
like, think catalytic converter.
Oh, cool. Cars. Thank you. I got that.
Okay. One of my birthdays a couple years ago, I woke up March 20th is my birthday. And I had a lot of birthday messages from pod squatters and people on the interwebs. But the whole day from beginning to end, I got 4 texts from people outside of my family. 4 people, 4 real live people remembered it was my birthday and reached out to say happy birthday. And I was like, ew, that feels like really bad. And I sat with it for a while. And then I realized that in fact, karma is my boyfriend. And if you never write back or call anyone or invest in other people, then they will not invest in you. It was a birthday, because birthdays feel like some kind of big day where the whole life of you is tested and like spotlit and put into contrast. It's like a referendum on your life. That's how a birthday can feel. That's one reason why birthdays are hard. What do you think, Sissy?
I think on a surface level, it's sort of like New Year's Eve, where we think all this magic is going to happen and things are going to be new and fresh and there's going to be some kind of revelation. But there's usually not. Like, you, Glennon, think that because of all of your hope and faith in the world that Abby will stop sneezing loud. We think, in spite of ourselves and in spite of all evidence to the contrary, like, a birthday is going to have all these magical things that it hasn't had before. Mm-hmm. And then when it doesn't, it feels sad. It does feel like this referendum that is quantifiable. Like, mm-hmm. You're like, I got 4 texts. Okay, that is basically a performance evaluation of where I stand in the world, you know,
yes. Of
my popularity or my lovability or my worthiness, that if we have these criteria that we've met, like a lot of people celebrating us, a lot of people reaching out to us, that means something. And if it doesn't, then we feel like we've failed. That's like at a surface level. But then I think at a deeper level, there's this whole idea of birthdays where we rarely take any moments to look at the state of things. And birthdays are kind of a forced moment to do that. Mm. And on the deeper level, it's like you're asking, like, do I matter?
Yeah.
Does my being born matter?
Mm-hmm.
Am I seen by anyone? Am I known by anyone? Am I celebrated for who I am? Am I loved? It's kind of like, this is the moment that I get those answers, even though I haven't asked those questions, maybe.
Yes.
There's this kind of underlying expectation that those answers will be delivered to you on that day. And if they're not, then the answer is nope, nopeity, nope, nope.
And it's like a forced stillness. It's like for the rest of the days, we can busy up and like conjure up our own worthiness. We can make it so. We can call the people. We can show up. We can do the email. We can like busy ourselves up and reach outward to prove to ourselves that we are important and loved and whatever. But on our birthday, it's like this different posture where we just have to sit there and wait. If other people reach out to us, like, we can't put ourselves in their lives. We have to see if they care enough about us to leave their own lives and reach out to us sitting in our house.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you are feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Their specialized recruiting professionals engage with their proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal and administrative, and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today. We've all been there. You have a question about your credit card. You call the number for help and can't get a hold of anyone. If only you had a Discover card. With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. A real person. Get the customer service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. I have a complicated relationship with birthdays because being the youngest of a huge family, when I was really young, you know, they do the big celebrations. Mm-hmm. And then as you get older, because I was the youngest, we would just celebrate a birthday during dinner. Like, that's what we did.
Mm-hmm. Did you get to pick your meal?
I did. I always chose marinated steak for some reason. Ooh. That was my favorite growing up. But like, I feel like we're setting our adult selves up for real failure.
Yes.
Because these huge parties are thrown for us when we're children. And then as we get older, they stop, they go away. At least that was the case for me. And I feel like it's kind of sad, like, because we're getting older by 1 year every year. And there's an existential dread that's happening, like, oh, I'm getting older. And then we get celebrated in many ways, like less and less as we get older. Mm-hmm. And so it's kind of this like sad hope for younghood.
Yeah. Interesting. Mm-hmm. Interesting. It's like all nostalgic.
Yeah.
And nostalgic can make us sick. Okay. So if you really think about how we've set up birthdays for ourselves in our culture, we have made a pile of things that drive us nuts, that actually make human beings miserable. So birthdays are based on, number one, expectations. We have this idea that's just hidden from everyone else of what we hope will happen, or we think should happen, or we expect should happen based on this or that or that.
Oh, okay? Our secret expectations.
Our secret expectations.
Yeah.
Expectations are just, you know, as we all know, just resentments just waiting to happen, right? So expectations are a nightmare. That's what birthdays are based on. Number two, they're based on comparisons. The more I think about it, everything is comparison. Today is my birthday. I am today comparing myself to everybody else who had a birthday this year, mm-hmm. who posted on Instagram, who has 20 friends where I have two, who has this cake where I have this one. I'm comparing myself not only to other people, but myself last year. Mm-hmm. Like, did all the things happen this year that I thought would? I'm comparing myself to where I thought I would be at this age. Mm. Like when I was young, I was 47. I had this, I had this, I had this.
God,
I had
didn't
this.
You think when you were young, 47 was like,
almost dead.
Yep.
Yeah.
For some people it is.
Yeah. So comparison, expectations, comparison, then existential dread. Mm-hmm. The big three of things that drive human beings mad. And they are all centered on our birthday. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people would say it's getting older that makes me upset every year. That's just existential dread. That is one thing that I actually don't have. Every time there's an anxiety or a worry or a misery that I don't have, I just want to say it because it makes me so happy.
Yeah, you're not weird about getting older.
No, this is my theory. I had a really rough go of it as a young person because of addiction and all the things. So my life keeps getting better the older I get. I just keep being happier because the beginning was rough for me. Mm-hmm. So I would never want to be younger. I wouldn't go back for all the money in the world. But you, sister, I think you do have, you told me that you have some worry each year about aging or...
We've talked about this on other episodes about like horizon living, where I love to live in the future. I love projects and planning and building. I think I've mentioned the time before where I had like a complete breakdown when the man told me that we had just purchased the last boiler we'd ever need for the house. And that was my existential moment, because I was like, what do you mean the last of anything? Like, there's not going to be more boilers. There's not going to be endless plans. There's not going to be endless building. That for me was just more about coming from a place of what makes me giddy is like, the possibilities are endless. Let's plan our way to heaven. We're just going to make projects and plans and do them. And really the making of the plan and the project is what gets me excited. So I think as I look just at numbers, I think, oh, actually the projects are in fact not endless. And the possibilities are not endless. The possibilities are best case scenario, you know, 4 more decades. That is a finite number of projects. Mm-hmm. And if you're always living into the projects, like what happens when there's nothing left to plan for at the end? Mm-hmm. Like when there's no ramp to the next thing you're building, then that really freaks me out, because it makes me think, oh, I don't want to get to the place where there's no more on-ramp to a project and figure out that I've done it all wrong. That like it, in fact, was never about the project. It was about the being there. So I think I've had a different relationship with just time because of that. I'm trying to orient my time more now. And I think also my life has been changed by I'm walking my dear friend through the end of her life right now. And she is 47, which is why when you said, you know, 47 is almost dead, I was like, yeah, 47 is almost dead for some of us. And I think that has just changed. It sounds cliche, but I think it's true that it's just kind of changed my feeling of any year we have is so freaking lucky. Mm-hmm. And it's a luck. I mean, you call it blessing, it's blessing if you call it, but like my friend Wendy is more worthy of blessings than anyone I know. And that's her story. And so I feel like so lucky. Mm-hmm. And it's just kind of, I know we talked to Andrea Gibson and they were talking about how it just changed their whole view of their body. Instead of like trying to make it correct, being just so deeply grateful for it. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it's right in front of my face. Mm-hmm. She has a child the same age as my child, and it could just be different. Anyone could find out in a hot minute that you got 6 months, mm-hmm. you got a year. And so it just feels so supremely silly than to have angst.
Yeah, going to the Andrea thing, it's like they said, Megan said that Megan had spent so much time hating her body and worrying about the shape of her body. And then one day Andrea said, because Andrea had been diagnosed with cancer, and Andrea said, I just so badly want to have a body. Mm-hmm. And it's like on our birthdays, we're like, I want this different kind of life. I want a different life. I want it to be different. And instead of being like, I'm just so grateful to have a life. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I like what you said about the blessing versus luck thing. I just so reject every time someone says I'm so blessed because of this or that. I know everyone's saying it with good intentions, but it's confusing because it's like, oh, so then the other person's unblessed. Like if you're blessed to have your health, then what is my neighbor? Like God was less excited to bless them.
I'm grateful.
Yeah, I'm grateful.
Because then it doesn't matter the source. It's like if you're grateful. And by the way, Wendy is more grateful for her life than anyone I know currently right now in this moment. So it doesn't mean just because you're blessed or lucky doesn't mean you're grateful.
Mm-hmm.
You right. can be blessed out of your mind totally. And be deeply ungrateful for your life.
That's right.
So yeah. Just being grateful is probably what we should be.
Well, let's look
for.
At the list that we were talking about of the things that make us miserable on our birthdays. Expectations, the opposite of that is gratitude mm-hmm. for whatever's here. Comparison, the opposite of that is gratitude. Existential dread, fear of what will be. Opposite of that is gratitude for what is now. So it looks like everything that makes us miserable on our birthday could be fixed, undone, if we focused completely on gratitude for whatever is.
And that's also very hard.
Of course.
It's not the way of things, except mm-hmm. in moments, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's hard to sustain that. But I think it's interesting because the reverse of that, right, is if you have people in your life that you're grateful for, why aren't we able to make them feel our gratitude and make them feel like they matter to us? And, you know, if everyone's out there having very confused feelings on their birthday, why aren't we able to transmit our gratitude for the people in our lives to make them feel a little differently?
Mm-hmm. Is it just because everyone's birthday is everyone else's just normal hard day of life? Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's hard to figure that system out.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we don't all get to stop on everyone else's day and tell our kids and our job and our family and our sickness and our whatever that this is Jody's day. It's just a bad system.
It
isn't. You know, instead of everyone having an individual birthday, if we had like an international holiday, which was like gratitude of people you love day, and we mm-hmm. all on that day agreed that we were going to stop and tell each other whatever. But this June 2nd being her birthday and being everyone else's June 2nd is a tricky situation.
Yeah. I'm thinking of what Abby just said about how it's a setup that we celebrate the shit out of kids. It's like a setup to begin with because they've really peaked too early in
yes.
the rest of their lives. It's going to be a disappointment. But it's interesting to think of it that way. I'm thinking of it from the reverse. I've always said, like, I'm not a birthday person. I don't care. John isn't either. We don't even exchange gifts. We're like, happy birthday. And we're really nice to each other on our birthdays. So I'm like, I'm not a birthday person. But that's a dirty lie because I'm obsessed with giving my kids really happy, special birthdays. So I'm selectively a birthday person.
Mm.
I'm a birthday person to the little people, but not to me. And so I wonder if the question isn't like, maybe we need to stop hyping them up so much because it's a letdown, and more like, is there a world in which everyone deserves to be celebrated like a child is celebrated? Like stupidly and exuberantly. And is that like the ache we have?
Yeah. And maybe we don't get it all year. Maybe most people feel unseen and unloved all yeah. year. And yeah. then on their birthday, they're like, at least this day, please.
Yeah. yeah. And then it's also kind of like this resentment, like just one fucking day. Are you kidding me?
And then you feel like people don't even get that, right?
Yeah.
I always think of that scene from The Bear where Jamie Lee Curtis is in the kitchen freaking out. And she's like, I make things beautiful for everyone and no one makes things beautiful for me.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a wild scene. But I think about that all the time, that is a caregiver's internal mantra.
Mm-hmm.
Do you guys have any good memories or stories about birthdays?
When I was in second grade, I was at this school and I remember my mom showing up at our school on my birthday with Friendly's little ice cream cups. You know, the ones that had the spoons.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. It was like high quality treat. And I remember we were all going out to the playground and she walked up and she had, you know, 20 of these Friendly cups in this brown bag. And I just like, I remember like looking at my mom and being so proud that that was my mom mm. and so proud to be able to hand each one of my classmates one of these Friendly cups. And we sat on the side of the playground and we ate our ice cream and then we played on the playground for a little while.
Oh, that's so good.
I don't have many memories of my childhood, but that was a really good day.
I just love the little things about birthdays. So in our family, we always start everyone's birthday with breakfast in bed. Mm-hmm. Even now, like if the kids are at our house, Craig comes over at like 6 a.m., all like bleary-eyed with his coffee, and we all hang out outside the hallway of whoever's birthday it is. And then we start singing and walk into the bedroom. And, you know, when they were little, they'd wake up and their eyes would be all big and they'd be soaked. And now they're teenagers and they're like, but they would be so upset if we didn't do it. Mm-hmm. And then we sing happy birthday. And then we have our annual family argument about the birthday song, because I insist that the birthday song is done wrong because it sounds like a dirge. It's like,
what's a dirge?
A funeral song. Oh. It's like, happy birthday to.
What would you, what do you think?
I just start it and I pick up the 10th bell.
We're walking in their bedroom and it's also like a wake up song. So that she's like, happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Chase. Happy birthday to you.
Right. Which is better and sounds like we're happy you were born and we're not sad you were born. And also it just takes too long the other way. So I have been on a long mission to change the birthday song. Tish last year, or a couple years ago, said, Mom, could you stop it? Just stop it. And I said, what? Why? I'm making it happy. And she said, do you think it's possible that it's long because that person gets a moment? Like that person gets to stand there song. While everyone is looking at them and they get to take it in, that it's a purposely beautifully long. And I was like, huh.
Do you want to know why it's actually long?
Why? Huh.
It's because it was made by a kindergarten teacher named Mildred Hill. And it was actually first good morning to all. And it used to be how she greeted her class every day. Good morning to all. Good morning to all. And so she actually would do that with her whole class. And her whole class loved it so much that they started using it at their birthday parties and changing the words. And then it was put into a Broadway show in 1931. And Mildred and her sister Patty sued the shit out of the Broadway show. And they got the copyright to the song because it was theirs. And since then, the Guinness Book of World Records has the song as one of the top three most songs sung in America. And the Hill Estate still gets $2 million in royalties every year.
No.
For that song. And the copyright expires in 2030.
Oh, that is so amazing.
That's amazing. Who's going to get that copyright?
Mildred.
They go public because you can't control copyrights forever. But that's a really long time. The hills are rolling.
They're doing it. So many things in our lives change, but not our love for Vuori clothing. I love this ad. We're so glad that they continue to support the show.
It's true. Abby is obsessed with Vuori. I am a little bit too. Do you think you have a favorite item?
Ugh, they're t-shirts. They never get less soft. They're just perfect for everything, for going to dinner, for actively going for a walk, for working out, whatever you want to do. They're the best. Sleep in them.
You wear them to work out and you wear them out to dinner. That is true.
I wear Vuori tops all day, every day.
And you wear them under suits and you wear them yes. to bed.
It's everything. Okay. I mean, I love them, but it's not easy to find clothes that look sleek and feel comfortable. I mean, I can use them everywhere and anywhere I go. Vuori is an investment in your happiness. I promise you. For our listeners, they are offering 20% off your first purchase, plus free shipping on any U.S. orders over $75 and free returns. Get yourself some of the most comfortable and versatile clothing on the planet at vuori.com/hardthings. That's vuori.com/hardthings. You won't be sorry.
Hungry Root's standard is simple but important. Step one. It's got to taste good. Step two, it's got to be quick to make. And step three, it's got to contain whole, trusted ingredients. And those three sound simple in theory, but when there's the option for takeout and there are stressful work days where meal prep isn't a priority, and when you've got picky eaters in the family, God help us, it's easier said than done. But Hungry Root makes it possible. We just built our first personalized cart after taking the fun little intro quiz, and soon my fridge will be filled with dairy-free snacks and drinks for John and the kids, prepared heat-and-eat meals for the whole family, and other high-quality groceries they're shipping over. I can't wait. Right now, Hungry Root is offering We Can Do Hard Things listeners 40% off your first delivery and free veggies for life. Did they say free veggies for life? Just go to hungryroot.com/hardthings to get 40% off your first delivery and get your free veggies. That's hungryroot.com/hardthings. Don't forget to use our link so they know we sent you.
The opportunities for giving amazing life-changing gifts have just begun.
And yes, diapers are a life-changing gift. Imagine you're a first-time parent struggling with time management and financial burdens. Don't really have to imagine. I remember it directly. And all the challenges of your first child. And then you get a huge shipment of diapers funded by all your family and friends. That's a good feeling.
Yeah, that's a good idea. That's exactly what Pampers is doing with their diaper stash. I love this so much. It's an online diaper fund. So you can contribute to a diaper stockpile and help ensure it never runs out.
And one of the most difficult things about buying diapers for others is making sure that you guess the right fits and sizes. And with Pampers Diaper Fund, all that guesswork goes away.
So if there's a new parent or expecting parent in your life, you will be making their lives a lot easier and showing them how many people are excited for their huge milestone.
Organizing a diaper stash is easy. Go to diaperstash.pampers.com to set up a fund and give the ultimate group gift. Love it.
Love it.
Love it. Love it.
Question. Do you feel like you've always been a little let down on your birthday? Like the birthday hasn't hit your expectations. And so is this like a source of, I'm never going to remember
it? Not as an adult. I just remember always feeling like, I don't like this.
Huh.
And I don't know why or how. I just remember feeling like you have the birthday party and then your friends come over and then you feel like, you know, they're guests. So your mom has to be nicer to them, has to be like, pay attention to them. And there's all people all around. And then you can't win your own games. And you have to be all polite. I would rather not have everyone else to deal with, you know?
Yeah, that's been a theme.
It just feels like a lot.
Do you know what I think is interesting is the origin of it? And I, you know, hate to do this to y'all, but I'm going to.
Okay. No, please do. Interesting. I'm very interested in it.
Okay. So the first birthday recorded ever is 3000 BC. It was the Pharaoh's birthday. And the whole idea is that when pharaohs were crowned gods, they were birthed. So like it wasn't the birth of a person. It was the birth of a god.
Wow.
So kind of like Christmas, right? When you think about it, yeah. That's why we celebrate that. But the ancient Greeks, the reason they celebrated birthdays outside of just the pharaohs were they believed that every person who was born had either a protective spirit or a demon present at your birth. And so the same spirit every year on the anniversary of your birth, it was kind of this liminal space where it was like the closest that you would get to either that protective spirit or that demon would like come and be with you.
Whoa.
So the whole idea of birthday parties and the candles and all of it was because it was celebrating your birthday. You were recognizing the closeness of the spirit. And so friends and family would come to try to protect you from the spirit. And that they would bring like good cheers and wishes, and the candles and the wishes were because the Greeks believed that smoke helped carry messages to gods. So when you blow out the candles, you're sending your wishes. That's the whole like birthday wish. That's the whole like we are sending our wishes skyward to the gods and we are calling protection on this person.
Damn.
Because we know the spirits are near on the birthday.
I think we know that in our bones. And that is why Birthdays take us close to the ache.
Yes,
birthdays,
that's what I think it is.
Birthdays take us close to whatever it is that the swirly purple and black sequency swirly cliff we're right next to. We're right mm-hmm. next to that thing. And the ache, it is like, no, it's life and death and God and spirit. And we're all going to die and we're all going to be taken from each other. And we just have this one brief moment of life. And on our birthday, we are there with it. And we want people around us to mm-hmm. block us from the ache, to keep us in this dimension. And when we're alone, we feel everything because we are right next to the ache, the spirit they thought mm-hmm. originally, alone. And that is why birthdays are fucking a lot.
To me, it makes sense. It's like why people are like, I don't know, it's my birthday and I just keep crying mm-hmm. and I don't really know why. And I feel so many feelings, whether it's like the spirit thing or it's the recognition, holy shit, I was born and I'm going to die. All of that is a very mystical, wild kind of transcendence from the everyday that we're in that like makes us look at that for a hot minute. And it's a lot. Mm-hmm. And the other thing that I think is super interesting about it, so we have all those ancient folks. Then when Christian tradition becomes very prevalent, the Christian tradition said ex-nay on the birthday because the whole idea of birth was the recognition of original sin. Mm. So like we do not celebrate birthdays. Very, very bad.
So because the Christians were like, turns out we're rotten. We're bad. We will not celebrate it because we are evil when we're born.
Well, because we're celebrating divinity, right? We're not celebrating sin. And so when the original sin that comes, that's nothing to be celebrated. You were born into original sin. That's not great. We're not celebrating that. We are celebrating, you know, divinity. We're celebrating Christ's birth because
every
like
party
the Pharaoh,
needs a pooper. That's why we invited the Christians. Party poopers, party poopers.
But very interestingly, it's only been since like the 1880s that the average American celebrated a birthday. That's really what, like 150 years?
Mm-hmm.
It all had to do with time, which mm-hmm. is this whole other thing that I think is fascinating when you take the existential ache and then you add on this illusion of chronological time and progress and smush those together, mm-hmm. that's when our brains explode. Pre-industrial revolution, people didn't have clocks. Mm-hmm. People didn't have watches. Right. People, the whole concept of time and passage of time wasn't even a thing. But then in the 19th century, we started getting pocket watches. And so this was the first thing that made it possible to even constantly know what time it was. And that's exactly when lives started to be run by schedules, you know, mm-hmm. like factory schedules and streetcars and all the things that started to like dominate. You had to know what time it was to get through the day. That became institutionalized. This whole idea of comparison that you're talking about, that's when we started separating students into grades by mm-hmm. age and being like, you're ahead, you're behind, you're ahead, you're behind.
Right.
That's when doctors started to say like, these are the age metrics and we're tracking your development and like, you're not okay and you are okay. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly when folks started celebrating birthdays.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems this whole idea of like, are you on time or are you late? This is part of our angst around birthdays, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm 30, I'm not married. I'm 40, am I going to be able to have a kid? All the things that are like time, 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 and I'm late. That's all because
mm-hmm.
we started to get in touch with this idea of time as this thing that we were keeping up with.
Yeah. And like a commodity, are we spending it right or not? It's something that belongs to us that we make decisions about as opposed to it's something that we belong to.
Mm-hmm.
Something to monetize too, birthdays.
Yeah. Yeah. So I wonder, is there a way to approach our own birthdays with the limited time we have left on this earth in a way that makes them more satisfying, in a way that avoids expectations, comparison, making it a referendum on our life. We had three friends over last night, actually, to celebrate one of their birthdays. And it was just a very simple, lovely talking on the couch dinner. And then at the end, we all sat down and I had a little notebook and we talked about Deb's just kind of like intentions and hopes and dreams for the next year and together. And we wrote them all down. And it was really beautiful because as her friend, now I know what she is dreaming of for the next year. I know so much of what's in her heart and what she values and wants.
Yeah.
And so now I feel like it's not just about next year finding out if it all came true. It's about knowing what to check in with her about,
yeah,
and knowing what's real for her. And
if she does get one of those wins or one of those desires, she'll be able to come to us and it will be this like beautiful moment. You know?
Yeah. And it's not just like a secret wish. I think it's so weird, the birthday wish that we have to keep secret. And then some of us are so superstitious that I'll speak for myself. Every time I'm like making a secret birthday wish and my family's all around me, I want to wish for something for myself. But then I'm like, oh God, I got to wish everybody stays happy and healthy again. Because if I don't, I'm a bad mom. So then I have to spend that on my wish every year. And I kind of wish.
Squander your wish on the health and happiness of your family.
Exactly. I just think caregivers should get two wishes. But what do you think are some ideas to like go into our own birthdays without falling into the pitfalls of what makes us sad on our birthdays?
I think that one of the things that I try to do is to explain the things I really want to do on my birthday and the things I don't want to do.
That's good.
For instance, we talk about this like a month before both of our birthdays. And usually it's like, we are foregoing any material item that we will be handed as a gift. And because the real truth is both of us just want to go, just the two of us, somewhere different than here.
Yeah, we always want it to be an experience. And that's another way of avoiding the pitfall of the secret test. I think people use their birthdays as a secret test. Will the other person figure out what I actually want and give it to me the way I want it? And then the secret test birthday has never worked for anyone.
But we do have those conversations.
Telling and I think that what
that's
you want.
Really important. Not only like in terms of like the general idea of a gift, because it's like, hey, is there something you're thinking about that you want? Usually we both say we want some sort of experience. And then it's like, what do you want to do on your birthday? And honestly, this last year, I just said, I want to do what I do every day. Like I want to wake up. I want to work out. I want to hang out with you. If we do some work, cool. Doesn't matter. I just want to have like a calm, quiet night with you all. That is like the perfect day.
But that's an expectation that we talk about first, because
yeah,
if you don't know the person, you could think that they want a party, or you could think that then that person's miserable all day. So clear
expectations. Oh my God, we did that to Allison once. Yeah. The assumptions make an ass out of you an option. It's like that rote, like, what would a good friend do?
Yes.
And then you do that thing without regard to what the actual person would want. And so one year we gave Allison a surprise birthday party.
Oh my God, have you ever met Allison?
Exactly. I don't know what, it was thoughtless. It
you
was
hate
aggressively. Apparently, I don't know. It was the stupidest thing one could possibly do. And she was miserable and hated every minute of it. And if the question is, am I known?
Exactly.
Am I seen and am I loved? She undoubtedly was like, well, that's a no on all three of those. Because why did you throw me a surprise birthday party? So there isn't just a birthday party. It's like that person's birthday. What would that person want? Some people want to be left alone so they can have a bath. And some people probably want a big thing. I do think there is something to this question of, if you are getting the assurance throughout the year that you are known and loved and seen and that you matter, then maybe it does take off the pressure of the birthday.
Yeah.
And so my feeling about like how to make birthdays less miserable is try to make sure that you're getting that more throughout the year, that it isn't like famine, 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 and you're expecting a feast on your birthday. But like try to say what you want and need and do things that you want and need more often throughout the year rather than waiting for the inevitable birthday letdown, because that's too much pressure on a birthday. And it also is never going to satisfy you. And then that takes this huge, like, magical need on a birthday down a notch.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think also just, like, be aware that the spirits
are close
and the angst are with you. And yeah, that the tyranny of time has its spotlight on you during that time. And that's a very tricky time. I mean, we now say happy birthday and expect everyone to be happy. I mean, the ancient Greeks were like, there is a demon coming to get you on this day. And so we have to come around and protect you from the demon. I think maybe it's what the expectation is. Like,
good point. We say happy birthday. That is aggressive. That is, you must be happy on your birthday. We have tied happy and birthday together inextricably with that one song. I don't know. Now I'm side-eyeing Mildred.
Yeah, but hold
Mildred
on a second.
Mildred did not write happy birthday. She wrote good morning to all.
Okay.
That's what you start saying on people's birthday.
Good morning
to all.
Or birthday.
Birthday to you. Or you say, birthday. I'm going to take a shift to protect you from the demons. That's what you say.
Yeah. Ooh, that's so interesting to me. It goes back to all of our holiday talks, like Christmas. Like, is Christmas merry? I don't know. It's just like Christmas to you. It's a complicated.
But isn't the hope that, like, when you wish somebody a happy birthday, isn't that like, hope it's a good happy birthday.
Yes, it could be.
Yeah,
yes.
But we're having this conversation because so many people wrote to us and say, why do I keep crying on my birthday? And we're having this conversation because so many people said, I don't know why birthdays are so depressing and anxiety provoking to me. And because the Greeks thought that it was the demons were coming to get you. So all I'm saying is maybe when we have this idea that your day will be full of celebration, maybe we should switch it to this day is going to be intense and complicated and you're going to have a lot of feelings.
Mm-hmm. Protect yourself to you.
Protect yourself to you. That's good. Maybe a lot of the other days are for celebrating. Mm-hmm. And then maybe it's just thinking of how can I make people know that they are seen and loved and matter. Throughout the year, and maybe especially on this day where they're going to be asking themselves that question.
Am I loved? Am I loved? Am I loved? You know, when we started this podcast, it was all about like that idea that the thing that screws us up is the picture in our heads of how things are supposed to be. It's not that your birthday is a lot that's the problem or that you have big feelings. It's that you have big feelings on your birthday. And you have this picture in your head of how a birthday is supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
And the distance between those two is the problem.
That's good.
So I think what we're doing is what we're always doing on this podcast is just examining the picture in our head of how it's supposed to be so that we can at least let go of the shame that we're experiencing the day differently than the picture that everyone puts in front of us. That it is a lot for all of us. We just didn't know that it was because of the closeness of the spirits, which now we do. Let's hear from Laura.
Hi, my name is Laura. Today is my 27th birthday, and I'm filling it with all of my favorite things. So far, we've gotten coffee, breakfast sandwiches, watched Jane Fonda movies, and of course, listened to the new We Can Do Hard Things episode. I hate phone calls almost as much as Glennon hates texting, and leaving a voicemail seems so embarrassing. But I told myself this was the year I'm going to do all the things if they make me uncomfortable. So here I am. I want to express gratitude to all three of you. Life is really fucking hard and beautiful and confusing, but you three bring me, along with countless others, so much joy and comfort. I relate to each of you in so many ways, and there are truly no words to express how thankful I am to be invited into your conversations every week. This is such a weird age, and I literally have no clue what I'm doing, but I think that's okay. Just thank you for making being alone feel a little less lonely. I'm sending all three of you so much love, and thank you for creating such a safe space to land every week. I love you so much.
Oh, Laura, come on with that. 27 is a tough birthday.
They all are.
Because you just don't know what the fuck you're doing. Nobody knows.
I think Laura might know, you guys. She started with, it's my birthday and I'm filling it with all of my favorite things.
So good.
She didn't say, I'm waiting for somebody to come fill it with my favorite things, right?
Yes.
And then she's doing gratitude. Mm-hmm. She's making goals for herself. She said she doesn't know what the hell she's doing, but she thinks that's okay.
Yeah.
I think Laura knows everything. And she understands that being lonely and being alone are two different things. Ugh.
Such a weird age. And I literally have no clue what I'm doing. Evergreen, ditto, all the ages, forevermore.
Exactly.
We are just going to try to find something we're grateful for and put down our expectations and
love ourselves.
Put ourselves more in the way of people who show us that we are loved and that we matter more throughout the year. And then on our birthdays, we're going to light a bunch of candles and protect ourselves.
Chant and shit. And if nobody's told you today, listen to me. You are loved. You are loved. We will see you next week.
Between the time we recorded this episode and when it aired, we lost Wendy. Her life was a blessing to everyone she touched, and her 47th birthday party, celebrated with everyone she loved at the Indigo Girls concert at Wolf Trap, belting out our anthems of joy and grief, was the best birthday party and most sacred celebration of life that I've ever been a part of. I will never again mark my own birthday without remembering that night and Wendy's gratitude for life. And without remembering how lucky I am to be alive, because it's only life after all.
If this podcast means something to you, it would mean so much to us if you'd be willing to take 30 seconds to do these three things. First, can you please follow or subscribe to We Can Do Hard Things? Following the pod helps you because you'll never miss an episode, and it helps us because you'll never miss an episode. To do this, just go to the We Can Do Hard Things show page on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Odyssey, or wherever you listen to podcasts, and then just tap the plus sign in the upper right-hand corner or click on follow. This is the most important thing for the pod. While you're there, if you'd be willing to give us a 5-star rating and review and share an episode you loved with a friend, we would be so grateful. We appreciate you very much. We Can Do Hard Things is produced in partnership with Cadence 13 Studios.